Now, I said we, that I worked in Yardley in Birmingham, and it's an 85% Islamic community with, and I run projects there, so I run this big project. So we run a community centre. It's in halfway between the airport and the city centre. We're in a community centre there. It has about 1,200 people about through the door every week. 700 of those are kids. So in the community centre, during the daytime, we do a lot of adult education. We do ESOL. We do, which is English as a second language. And we do, so we have lots of people who come that can't speak any English at all or very limited. We do digital skills, we do a job club, we do arts and crafts and that sort of thing. And we just stay and play, and then in the evenings we do lots of youth activities. I run a youth football club. So that's why you don't see me very often, because I don't come out preaching during the football season, because my job is to drive kids around Birmingham to different matches in a minibus. We run a food bank, a food pantry. Yeah, so it's pretty busy and full on, really. And it's in that context that I'm preaching this morning. So we have 27 different languages spoken. So I thought we'd read from Genesis chapter 11, 1 to 9.
The Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth.
And we read from Galatians chapter 3.
From Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 3. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God. Through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Now, if I say to you the word inclusion, I wonder what that means to you. Because when you say the word inclusion, you instantly start thinking about exclusion. So there is no Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. So I could think about different forms of exclusion that I see and meet every day. So I could think about our ESOL classes, where people are sent down, often from the job centre, to come and learn English. Many of these people have been isolated for a long time. A typical story is that people will have moved from London and lived in Birmingham in a small community where everybody speaks their language. And so they've lived there for a long time. And then the job centre comes along and says, you've got to learn some English. There will be some people that have come from abroad, but majority of people have moved or were born in Birmingham. Most people are British. Sometimes people ring me up and say, can you help me out? Have you got anybody who can translate Arabic? So I said, how many people do you want? Is my normal response. Understanding each other is not really a huge problem for us. Because when somebody comes with a particular language and they don't speak English, there's always someone around who can translate. But I want you to, it's important to think about how people are excluded if they don't speak the language. Our ESOL course is based around, we get funding not for ESOL, because that's not very around very much. We get ESOL for helping people to understand the health system. So what we do in our ESOL classes is we teach people about health. So we teach them words for parts of the body, such as hand, leg, neck, And so one of the first lessons is learning the parts of the body and the words for pain, different words for pain. And then we'll go on to talk about making a doctor's appointment. Now, whether you can speak English or not, getting a doctor's appointment is a challenge. Now, I don't know what it's like at Market Harborough, but there is now a... we've had a revolution in rugby, or an evolution, on the system for getting a doctor's appointment. So So what you have to do is, you don't ring up anymore and join a big long telephone queue. That's gone. You have to go on the website, you have to fill in a form, right? And you fill in this form, you can't get the form till 8 o'clock in the morning. A bit like the old days. You fill in the form, you send it off, and it goes to triage. And then, sort of about an hour, 2 hours later, you'll get a message in your NHS app. You get a message in that'll tell you when your appointment is. And if if it's urgent, you'll get it the same day, or you might get it a few days later. So not only is it helpful to be able to speak English and write English, it's also helpful if you understand technology. Now, I know at Market Harborough, everybody here, sitting here, are experts in technology. And you can all remember your passwords, and you can all, go on and find. So that is another form of exclusion, isn't it? Because if you haven't got digital skills, then sort of the easy part of getting a doctor's appointment, you can't access that. And so you're excluded from that, and then you have to, I don't know what people do if they can't do it. I think there is a phone service, and you can go in and ask, but so you can get a doctor's appointment somehow, it's not the preferred system. And so it is much more difficult. So another thing we do at the community centre is a lot of digital skills, because these days you can't really do anything without being able to go on a computer or a tablet or a phone, and and get an appointment or your banking or whatever you do. There is a challenge on inclusion. So whenever there's a barrier, then somebody is left out. We had a new barrier at where I work for the car park, and I've got a little fob that I have to rush. It's not a great system. You park up, you can't get near enough the thing. You have to rush out your car, beat the thing, rush back in and drive off without a seatbelt on before the barrier comes back down again. It's great fun. But that was fine until we had a deaf group come, some deaf users. So they rang the bell. Well, they couldn't hear what was being said. So we've had to put in some other arrangements for them. It's easy to get caught out, isn't it? And then I could talk to you about the 20 or so kids that we have that live in temporary accommodation. So all along the Coventry Road, there's loads of budget hotels that aren't budget hotels anymore. They house, they don't really house asylum seekers, much to everyone's surprise, but they house people that have been evicted from their accommodation and have nowhere to live. There's families in there that have two rooms, two budget hotel rooms to live in, and the kids go in one and the parents go in the other. If you're doing that, if you're in that situation, you have no cooker, no ability to cook food, eat healthily, you've got nowhere to do your washing. So families, families, you know, where do you do your washing? Well, you could go to the local laundrette, couldn't you? Except it's £7 a wash, and you haven't got £7 to spend on the washing machine every couple of days because you've got babies and kids. So in the community centre, we put in a free-to-use washing machine, and that changed people's lives because, you know, it was always, it's always the busiest on a Saturday. And so I said to people, why do you come on a Saturday? So they said, well, what we have to do is get the kids' uniforms washed, ready for Monday. So if we don't come on a Saturday, that's the only time they're not wearing them. So we wash the kids' uniforms on a Saturday, ready for Monday. And the kids get to go to school in fresh, clean clothes. So just thinking about things like that. And then the food pantry, the amount we take waste food from Fair Share. Have you heard, anybody heard of Fair Share? Yeah, we take waste food. We take half a ton of food a week and we put it into like a little shop. And then people pay £4-5 to shop, and they get about £20 to £30 worth of food, and all sorts of people use that. You know, older people, families, disabled people, people in HMOs, all sorts of different people use it, and that's in partnership with South Yardley Methodist Church, in which is part of the Birmingham Circuit. And so, we have this story of the Tower of Babel, which sort of, I wouldn't myself take the story in its literal form where God mixes up the languages. But we have this situation where there's lots of, where bringing people together can be quite difficult. And that is what we seek to do at the community centre. It is the only place where you get Arabic class going on next to karate, next to football training, and we have about 200 kids on a Wednesday night. Most kids these days speak English. Well, actually, all the kids that I work with speak two or three languages quite naturally. So they'll all speak fluent. They're all born in Britain, all born in Birmingham, speak English, but probably they speak Arabic or Urdu at home or French. You know, we have quite a lot of Moroccans, so that's French, Arabic and English is interchangeable. But you know, inclusion is really easy. We do it every day. We do it every Sunday without even thinking about it. And we do it because Christ died for all. All are made in God's image. And his love is for all. And the message is for all. And so you're thinking, well, what do we do that's so inclusive. I've already alluded to one of the things that we do, which is about the welcome that people get through the door. And I certainly got that welcome this morning because I wasn't instantly recognised as the preacher. And so people were kind to ask, what's your name, who you are, please come in. And so that was absolutely great. And then if we look around, there's enough chairs for all. There's enough chairs for people to sit down. Our service is inclusive. It is open for all. We've got some water at the back, just to remind you, if you need it. Our wine is alcohol free. You know, we seek to include everyone. Our pianist doesn't choose who he plays to. He plays to all, whoever's here. He plays for all of us. We don't put up a screen around the flowers. The flowers are there for all to see. And then, after the service, I think you serve coffee, is that right? Yeah. Everyone's invited. Yeah. You know, the ministry of the tea towel is very underrated. You know, people who wash up, or, you know, I caught those people in the kitchen or whatever. Methodism's famous for its tea, isn't it? It's tea and its cakes. And that's how.
And also prepare everything there.
Indeed, indeed. So, you see, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And that is when we talk about an inclusive church. People get all let up sometimes about what that means. But it's dead easy, my friends. We just offer people a drink at the end of the service, or at the end of our activities, or during our activities, and we say to people, and we give them a welcome, and we make sure everyone's needs are met. It's really easy. And so, as we seek to serve the Lord, we seek to witness to our inclusive God together in unity.